from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news I want you to know. I'm your host, Mark Levine, a former congressional attorney. We're sponsoring a debate with a Republican. As a Democrat, I think it's how the other side thinks, particularly since they've been running the country for the last 6 years. He's really kind of my counterpart because he was working for Congress as a staffer for the Republicans. So we hope to give you a lot of inside baseball tonight, discuss the issues of today. As usual, you...
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. military continues to search for three missing American soldiers believed to be kidnapped by an al-Qaeda-linked group after an ambush on Saturday. 50,000 leaflets were distributed in the area south of Baghdad, announcing a reward for information leading to their return. Northeast of Baghdad today, a bomb in a parked car exploded, killing at least 32 people near a Shiite marketplace. 50 were wounded. In a separate attack today in Baghdad's heavily fortified Green Zone, 2 Iraqis were killed by mortars, 10 were wounded. The Senate today voted against legislation to set a cutoff date for combat operations in the Iraq War. The date would have been March 31, 2008. It was a procedural vote which fell short of the required 60 votes. In the Gaza Strip, violence continues between the Palestinian factions. 6 Fatah guards were killed by Hamas gunmen. Also, Israeli aircraft launched missiles at Hamas militants in response to Hamas-fired rocket barrages into Israel. Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel says Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign. That comes after yesterday's testimony from the former number 2 official at the Justice Department. The World Bank's board is meeting today to decide the fate of embattled President Paul Wolfowitz. CNBC reports both sides are now looking for a, quote, exit strategy, and he may resign soon, according to the Associated Press. Wolfowitz has been criticized for a pay package he arranged for his girlfriend. Nicolas Sarkozy was inaugurated as the new president of France today. He promised a new era for the country, which will unite political rivals. Outgoing British Prime Minister Tony Blair will meet with President Bush at the White House for the last time as his country's leader. The two are expected to discuss Iraq, the Darfur crisis, and climate change. Last week, Blair announced he will leave office on June 28th. Britain's top general says that the threat to Prince Harry, who is third in line to the British throne, is too great, and thus he will not be sent to fight in Iraq. The eldest daughter of the late civil rights leader, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Yolanda King, collapsed and died in Santa Monica yesterday. She was 51 years old. In southern New Jersey, a flare dropped by an F-16 military jet may have started a wildfire. More than 13,000 acres have burned so far. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
We want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea, on California's beautiful central coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple keystrokes and you're visiting a beautiful website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for. Quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, quiet, and the best shops, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that honest information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway, carmel.com.
The space shuttle has returned to its Cape Canaveral launching pad in preparation for an early June mission to the International Space Station. A humpback whale and her calf have made their way from the Pacific Ocean via a deep water shipping canal to Sacramento. A team of marine mammal experts will determine the health of the whales and how to return them back to the sea. A government study indicates men who take too many high-dose multivitamins are at greater risk of dying from prostate cancer. The real estate development company, which owns the Plaza Hotel in New York City, will develop a $5 billion complex in Las Vegas under the Plaza brand. The multi-use complex will have a luxury hotel, private residences, along with retail, gaming, and convention space. Microsoft announced it will release its Halo 3 video game on September 25th. The global video game industry is a $30 billion business. Amazon.com will enter the music download business with a store which will sell songs and albums in the MP3 format without copy protection. That means customers can transfer the music to any music playing device without limits. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.55 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow in record territory, up triple digits, 104 points, while the NASDAQ is up 17. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Ding dong, the witch is dead, they said in the head-on radio network chat room the moment they heard that Jerry Falwell had passed away. Who was this guy? Why is he so important to the American history of religion and politics? Or is he really just a guy passing on the scene? One of the most controversial figures, really, in our time, someone who took the idea that fundamentalist Christians who used to stay out of politics, who used to do, as Jesus of Nazareth said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, created the idea that we need a theocracy in America. Yes, it wasn't just the Taliban that suggested that religion should control government. It happened here, too. And Jerry Falwell, largely through taking the Christian conservatives over to Ronald Reagan, some argue, changed the way we look at politics. I want to talk about this guy and all that he said and all that he did and why I'm not sad that he's gone. First, though, I want to play for you a recent interview, just a segment of it, that he had with Christiane Amanpour. This interview is merely 2 weeks old. It's actually a very recent interview. Let me play it for you.
About 20 more years to accomplish what my vision for the university is.
20 years.
I need at least another 20 years, so that's why I'm praying. In the Bible, there's a story of a guy named Hezekiah who was dying, and he asked God for 15 additional years, and he got it. Well, I'm praying the same prayer with an option to renew.
And do you think you'll get it?
I don't know, but I certainly hope.
What do you want to do with those 20 extra years?
Well, we want a huge, major, evangelical Christian university. We're just starting our engineering school this fall. The law school graduates its first lawyers right now.
So he asked for 20 more years. He mentions King Hezekiah in the Bible, who asked for 15 more years and got it. Well, within 2 weeks after asking for 20 more years, Jerry Falwell was dead. Maybe God didn't listen to him as much as he said that he did. But this is a man who absolutely claimed that he could understand God. Indeed, after the horror of September 11th, where 3,000 Americans were dead, he said on the 700 Club that he saw the attacks as judgment on America for throwing God out of the public square. Got it? In other words, it's our fault. Quote, I really believe the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who've tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen. Okay. So, because gay people want to be treated with respect and dignity and equality, God murdered 3,000 Americans? That's really what he's saying? It's interesting. When he was first challenged on that comment, first he defended it strongly, then he said it was taken out of context, and then later on he apologized, said that he shouldn't have said that. But in his interview with Christiane Amanpour, he went back and defended that very quote. He talked about the fact that God had withheld his protection over America. Well, apparently the only one that God withheld his protection over was Jerry Falwell, the same man that complained that if Disney were, I think this was Falwell, it may have been Pat Robertson, I'll have to double check this. I believe it was Falwell that said that if Disney allows gay people to enter, then there'll be tornadoes hurricanes to go over Orlando. And at that time, hurricanes did cross Florida and completely missed Orlando. As a prophet, he did not quite succeed. But he did do a major thing. He did more than most people to take down the wall of separation between church and state, to take apart the First Amendment to the Constitution, which says that Congress shall not establish a religion, nor prohibit the free exercise thereof. And in some ways, he helped strengthen that same First Amendment in the famous case of Larry Flynt v. Jerry Falwell. The winner of the United States Supreme Court was Larry Flynt. Only in America, perhaps, can a pornographer beat a self-proclaimed man of God. And yet, Flynt had the right of the side of the argument. He had parodied Jerry Falwell. He put up a parody. Imagine if Falwell had won that lawsuit. The Daily Show couldn't exist today. Free speech all across the nation, where we readily condemn and parody and make fun of our president, would be prohibited. Falwell was trying to stop criticism of our government, and thank God Larry Flynt succeeded. There are many other controversial comments, of course, that he made. He once blamed AIDS on gay people, which, of course, doesn't explain why today it primarily harms poor black people, both in the United States and across the globe. Is he saying God hates poor black people? I don't know. But you have to remember that back in the 1960s, Jerry Falwell was a big critic of Martin Luther King and a big supporter of apartheid in South Africa. So, racist, anti-gay, let's not stop anti-Semitic. It's Jerry Falwell who argues that the Antichrist exists. He's on Earth today, and he is a male Jew. I don't think he was referring to me. At least I hope not. You know, what's interesting about what he's done, I think, is he created a whole host of televangelists. And I don't want to give him full credit for this. Frankly, Pat Robertson did a lot more. Pat Robertson, of course, who has diamond mines in Africa, literally built on the backs of slavery, built on the backs of Liberia President Charles Taylor, who would kill young men and women, take their children as orphans, and then force them into his army. Pat Robertson supported his diamond mines. And yet people like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell claim to be part of the moral majority. And I don't think we can argue that they haven't had a legacy. They have promoted Christianity not as the religion that Jesus promoted, a religion that cares for the poor, that cares for the orphan, that cares for the environment, a religion where people look out for each other, a religion where Jesus would overthrow the money changers in the temple and say it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. That Christianity is gone from many people's minds. Jerry Falwell has made America understand that Christianity means two and two things only: forcing women to have children, whether they like it or not. And I don't just mean the ones that are pregnant. I mean, Jerry Falwell was against contraception and sex education. So I'm saying forcing women to be pregnant, whether they like it or not, and punishing gay people. Anti-choice, anti-homosexuality. That is what many people believe Christianity is all about. Many people think, because of Jerry Falwell, that if you open up the New Testament, all you're going to see is Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount thundering against gay people and thundering against abortions. Unfortunately, for Falwell, I don't know whether he actually read the four Gospels, but Jesus doesn't seem to say anything about homosexuality or abortion. No, he talks about caring for the poor. In fact, he hangs out with lepers and prostitutes and says, "He who is without sin, throw the first stone." In Jerry Falwell's world, I don't think he's with Jesus right now. I don't think Jesus would approve of someone who hurt people who are already suffering. I don't see Jesus as someone who hurt the oppressed, who picked on poor women and blacks and gay people, any more than he picked on lepers or prostitutes. Jesus understood that there are all kinds of people in this world, and he said, "The meek shall inherit the earth." Well, Jerry Falwell was anything but meek. And I want to talk more about him and his legacy and invite you to join in the discussion. It's easy to do. The toll-free number, 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-H-E-A-D-O-N. This is the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio with Bob Kincaid.
When somebody tell me when the United States of America went from a can-do country to a can't-do country. Was can-do washed away in the fetid floods of Katrina? Was can-do killed in the stinking sands of Iraq? Did can-do get buried in the dank and gassy hole of Sago number 1? Where did the Bush administration go when they took can-do out and killed it? What happened to a nation that never said we can't? What happened to that nation that knew that the only thing it had to fear was fear itself?
Well, Mr. Kincaid, we've replaced that slogan. Now all we have is fear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on the Head On Radio Network. Do you know
what you want? What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, "What if?" Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it
and bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you.
Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We the people will stand with you.
Because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple.
I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the legacy of Jerry Falwell. He certainly is a very important legacy to the Republican Party. I'm trying to find videos here, but it's not working very well, so excuse that. He was very important to the Republican Party. I mean, certainly Ronald Reagan and John McCain and George Bush Senior and Junior bow down before him, understanding that it was critical to their people that they do what he wants them to do. In fact, John McCain at one point called him an agent of intolerance, and now, just before his election, also went to bow down and speak before Jerry Falwell. What is it about Jerry Falwell that was so important? Well, I think what he did, most of all, is he had Americans re-understand Christianity. There were those that thought that Jesus cared about the meek, cared about the less fortunate. There were those that felt that Jesus cared about the outcast. Jerry Falwell made sure that everyone was clear that that was wrong. In his view, Christianity hates the outcast, wants to destroy the meek, and wants to make sure the rich are powerful. And so he very much preached against the poor, very much preached in ways to help the powerful. If anyone felt that Jesus wanted a capital gains tax cut, it was Jerry Falwell who encouraged that thought. After all, he was someone who was building up an empire, building up a very small church into a large televangelist movement, and he did so. And he claimed the brilliant, presumptuous title of the moral majority, suggesting that those who did not believe, as he did, were in the immoral minority. I don't know, though, that he affected as much as he would have claimed. Certainly, Jimmy Carter was on his way out, was in trouble in 1980. I don't know that he affected very much that election, but I think if you look at someone like Jimmy Carter, and I've disagreed with Carter on things in the past, but he was America's original idea of a born-again Christian, of an evangelical, of a Southern Baptist, someone who did care about the poor, someone who did care about the less fortunate. And I think Jerry Falwell, more than any other, has made Christianity in America seem like it is solely the province of the right. Now, anyone who's lived in America can tell you that there are religious people that are certainly liberal. Jim Wallace immediately comes to mind, but there are many others, people like Martin Luther King, who was also a reverend, minister of the cloth. There are many, many religious leaders across the country that don't believe in persecuting those that are less fortunate. But Jerry Falwell did his best, and he really, I think what he did is he took a Republican Party that really had changed after the 1960s. You got to remember that prior to the 1960s, it was the Democrats that were the party of the white South, the party of the segregationists. And then came Jack Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson and changed all that with the Civil Rights Acts of 1964. Kennedy and Johnson believed that African Americans should play a full role in American society, that segregation was wrong, and it should end. When that happened, a whole host of Southern Democrats had nowhere to go. First, they turned to George Wallace in 1968, and later, with Richard Nixon, went into the Republican Party. But it's very hard, post-1960s, into the 1970s, to defend racism. It's very hard to defend attacking black people, at least doing so openly. So what Jerry Falwell did is he changed the victims. Can't pick on blacks anymore, pick on gay people. Pick on women that are poor enough and suffering enough that they have to have abortions. Pick on people who are too poor to know better but can give a lot of money to his church. When the AIDS crisis came, did he minister to gay people? No. No, he blamed it on gay people. And he even suggested that children's television, Tinky Winky, was a secret plot to make all children gay. Apparently purple is close enough to pink, and I don't know, something about the purse. He was really a laughable character, and one of the things that I think one of the reasons why he became popular was he was someone who was willing to go on the news and to give his 1 minute or 2 minute speech, whereas a lot of other religious leaders weren't willing to do that, weren't willing to lower themselves in that way. And so, unfortunately, he had more pull because of that. There's lots of things that he said. He called Muhammad a terrorist. Now, we can talk about early Islam. We certainly can. We can talk about early Protestantism. Martin Luther was a terrible anti-Semite. The Catholic Church was involved in the Inquisition and the Crusades. I'm not defending Muhammad. He certainly was involved in a number of bloody things himself. Hey, my own religion, back at the time of the Maccabees, that wonderful group that we celebrate in the Hanukkah season every year, they themselves forcibly converted people to Judaism. No religion, in my knowledge, has a perfect past. Many of us have violence in our religious past. But to call Muhammad a terrorist, while at the same time praising the Catholic Church and Martin Luther and other Christian leaders, is, I think, to make clear to the Islamic world that Falwell and people like him were making our country into a religious war. Don't say the Muslims declared jihad first. Jerry Falwell declared jihad first. So what is the legacy of Jerry Falwell? He wanted 20 more years, and in 2 weeks, he was taken. His prophecy has not been very accurate. What do you think of him? What do you think his legacy will be? Do you think I'm spending too much time even talking about him? I mean, we got a lot of issues to talk about in Gonzales and Iraq. Why was he important, if at all? Toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'd really like to hear from you in this, and you can also post on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. Was it the media that made Jerry Falwell? Is that what it was? Is it because he would come on TV? Or was it the fact that Republican leaders decided to bow down to him? Did he, in fact, change Christianity in the sense of how people think Christianity is? Did he persuade people that Christianity is not a religion of love and caring for the poor, but instead is a religion of hating gay people and preventing women from having the right to control their own bodies? Lots to talk about. I want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back with your calls right after the break.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh? I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about Jerry Falwell. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Good riddance, or do other lessons to be learned from his legacy? Toll-free number 877-4HEAD-ON. Let's go to Peter. Peter, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. I can't believe I'm talking to you. You're like legend, man.
Am I? How am I legend?
Well, you are just incredible in the sense that you have such an analytical mind. You can just go right into the heart of those conservative idiots and just get right to the point and back people to the wall. You just great. You must have been hell in court.
Well, we'll say thank you, Peter. I like to think that I was.
I was not want to be on the wrong side of you in that court.
Well, you know, look, all I'm saying is if you know, I'm not even Christian. I'm Jewish, but I've read the New Testament. I know what it says, and I don't remember Jesus attacking homosexuals. I don't remember Jesus mentioning abortion. I remember lots of talk about the meek, lots of talk against the rich. And I just don't see anywhere where there's a capital gains tax cut. I'll look again, but I didn't see it in any of the Gospels.
No point in looking again.
Tell me this. Do you think that Jerry Falwell has changed Americans' perception of Christianity for ill?
Absolutely, yes, and by design. And this started back around 1981 when the IRD was formed, the Institute on Religion and Democracy. And that was originally a Roman Catholic thing, and later on, what they did was they went into they called themselves a Coalition for Democratic Majority, and what they were doing was to try to counterbalance the Protestant organizations like the the more liberal and progressive Protestant organizations like the National Council of Churches and the World Council mm-hmm. of Churches and this sort of thing. And it opposed, you know, liberation for Latin America, and it supported the Reagan policies in Central America, and it was opposing lesbian, gay, transgendered rights. The whole thing was a political think tank. It was, it's high, and still is. In fact, this man Toomey or Tooley, forgotten his name, has issued a statement about the great loss for Falwell passing away. But
you know what strikes me about this is that it's not even just the liberal Protestant sects. When people thought about born-again Christians back in the 1970s, when they thought about evangelicals, they didn't even use the words then. They talked about fundamentalists.
And holy
they thought about Jimmy Carter. They thought about a president who, for all his imperfections, and I've criticized Carter a lot on my show, and I don't dispute that. But at least no one can doubt that his heart was there for caring for the poor. That this was something that he understood to be one of Jesus' primary missions on earth.
Yeah.
And so even Southern Baptists, I mean, people understood fundamentalists, evangelicals, born-again Christian was not seen as a bad word. It was seen as just simply a very religious person who wants to worship God in a very, you know, real way. Today, I'd venture to say that it is an insult, and it's kind of unfair to born-again Christians who are in the Carter mold, who really do care for the poor and want to build, you know, Habitat for Humanity, and aren't in there about persecuting women and gay people.
Well, this is absolutely true. Now, and this is completely in line with what the IRD's function was. The IRD's function was to influence mainstream churches in such a way as to bring about a political end. In other words, they were not trying to assist the churches in presenting the message of Christ. They were attempting to influence the churches in such a way that they accentuated the divides in the churches and the differences of opinions and turning them in. Let me point this out. The Baptist Church is the largest Protestant denomination. They went after the Baptists first. They have completely succeeded. The Baptist Church is about as far as from the teachings of Jesus, except for maybe a few rural ones. But you talk about your mega churches and your big ones. They're all thoroughly infiltrated with the idea of the IRD, and Falwell became instrumental in that.
Now, and you know what the irony is? Those churches prey on the poor. Exactly what Jesus preached against. To me, they are the money changers in the temple. They are the people who are demanding. They're people who can't afford their rent tithe a tenth of their income.
Absolutely, and the IRD is funded by very, very wealthy ultra-conservative Republican people like the Carnegie Mellon family. There's a whole list of them. I can't think of them right off the top of my head. And, of course, the Methodist Church is the second largest Protestant denomination, and let me tell you, Mark, they're working hard on the Methodists right now. And in fact, the IRD...
The Methodists are still pretty calm. So far, I hear mostly good things from Methodists. You think that may change, huh?
Well, let me point this out. We're about to... I'm a Methodist, and I regularly...
No, I have a lot of respect for the Methodist Church.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, but I'm about to reevaluate that because of what's happening at the Southern Methodist University, and this is all tied in with the IRD and the Falwell's influence, et cetera, et cetera. Southern Methodist University is about to house the George Bush Jr. Library with its conservative think tank. And of course, the conservative think tank wants to be an entirely separate institution from the library. The library will be under the conservative.
Wait. Conservative think? I think that's an oxymoron, Peter. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah.
They could call it conservative group think tank.
Yeah.
Where Caldwell tells them what to think and they all say, yes, sir. Now that would work.
And how
anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
No. How pompous is it to refer to anything as a think tank? That's truly
Republican. But the thing is, they are against free thought.
Oh.
I mean, you look at the question of they're trying to stamp out science, trying to promote literally the idea that God created the earth in 6 days in our schools, in our public schools. And it's amazing to me, you know, the heart of the difference in the First Amendment between, you know, government not establishing a religion but not prohibiting the free exercise of religion is you allow people to practice their own religion however they want, but you don't force others to accept your religion. And I think that's where Falwell really changed fundamentalism.
Yes.
Fundamentalist Christians, I would argue, in the 1970s were mostly about their own community and about preaching to their own community, helping their own community.
Right.
They weren't about requiring people who weren't in their community to act according to their values.
Yes,
you know, they maybe didn't dance or didn't drink in their own communities, but they didn't try to pass laws to prevent others from dancing and others from drinking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. And it's another example of the media also being taken over by you know, this is a long-term plan from the Republicans when they were so badly beaten. When was it? Back in the 60s? I don't remember. But, you know, they went through, what, 20, 40 years?
64.
Okay. Long
that was Johnson's re-election.
And so there was a long-term plan, and the churches were to be taken over and the media. So now we have the media who not only presents the Republican conservative point of view. The same thing is happening with leaders in the Christian community. The only point of view you get is Falwell when he utters one of his idiotic statements. Then a week later, apologizes for it, and just like you said, Mark, about a week after that, he rephrases it and repeats it and underscores it.
I tried really hard to get the video of him with Christiane Amanpour. I saw it on CNN. And I'm really sorry I couldn't play it for you because it's interesting. They've only excerpted the minute about him wanting to live 20 more years. They haven't excerpted the other minute where he basically defended the comment that he had apologized for after defending it before, basically saying that God had withdrawn his protection from America.
Yeah.
That, you know, God, I guess, wanted the 3,000 to die. And, you know,
that's the sovereign moral.
Is it sin after God took him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, when you claim to talk to God, you better be a prophet.
It's laughable.
I guess to me, the part, though, that I'm concerned about, it's not just religion affecting government, but government affecting religion. You know, I think liberals talk too often, and we do talk, and we're right to talk about religion controlling our government. And we have every right to fear it, and we do fear it, and that's a legitimate point. But what we don't talk about very much is the other side of the wall of separation between church and state, that government can influence religion.
Yes, it can.
When you have George Bush's faith-based initiative, and he's saying, in effect, to a number of African-American preachers and very poor churches across the land, if you support me on your pulpit, we'll give you government money.
Oh, yeah,
in other
absolutely.
Words, it's not just that we have to fear Falwell's control over the government.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to fear the way that he's using government to change people's views of Christianity. People don't see Christianity as a religion of love anymore.
Well,
they see it as a religion of hate, and that's an insult to a very fine religion.
I completely agree, and it's my feeling that the word Christian has been completely sold, lock, stock, and barrel. The meaning has been sold to the Republican. The word Christian now means a Republican, or you have to explain what you mean by Christian. Mark, I tell people, I am no Christian. I love Jesus, but I am no Christian.
Yeah, and there's, of course, a distinction between them.
Yeah, there is a distinction between them. As Bob Kincaid likes to say, the brown-skinned guy from Yeshua, the carpenter, something.
Right.
And
the guy hung out with the poor.
This hate, this philosophy of it's okay to hate, they're right now the whole thing about trying to prevent hate crimes, adding gay folks to the
right.
Hate crimes bill. That's all. That is just a test case. What they're trying to do is to force. They're trying to block that, claiming that it prevents their. They're just trying to their freedom of speech. They're just trying to see how far they can go, and further endorsing that, you know, the wink and a nod thing. That it's all right. Yeah, it's all right to get those. You know, beat the hell out of them because, you know, it's all right. The church just gives it a wink and a nod. This stuff has got to stop, you know.
You know, religion has always been a dual-edged sword. There may be exceptions. I mean, I don't know that the Buddhists ever harmed anyone, but I don't claim to be an expert on Buddhism. But generally, religion is a dual-edged sword. It can be used very much to help people, to bring help to poor people, to bring just societies. It can also very much and very often be used to persecute, to torture, and to attack people of different religions. We've seen that throughout the ages, and it's true of Islam and Christianity and Judaism and other religions. It seems to me that what Falwell did is he emphasized the hate.
Yes.
He allowed people who were coming out of the 60s and wanted to be racist and wanted to be segregationist, all those white segregationists who saw it was no longer politically correct to openly use the N-word, to openly talk against black people, and turn them. Let's focus on feminists. Let's focus on gay people.
And intellectuals.
Intellectuals, exactly. A strong anti-intellectual bent. Let's focus on scientists. We hate science. And what it's really done is take this same proud, know-nothing mentality and spread it until we have a president who's one of the stupidest, most incompetent, and still malicious presidents of the United States. Yes. And people are proud of that.
Yes, the president has no more intellectual clout or acuity than someone who's in the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, who are their heroes.
And about as fake as well.
Oh, yeah, about as fake as well. Absolutely.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate your calling in. I hope you call in again sometime.
Mark, you're a joy to talk to. You're always kind of scary because, I mean, you know, I was always a little afraid to call you.
Don't be afraid to call. I just got a lot of energy. No, I love it when you call, whether you agree or you disagree. I want you to call in again sometime.
Well,
I hope you do.
I'm with you, dude. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
My pleasure. We got to take another break. When we come back, you're welcome to join in the conversation. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left to talk about the legacy of Jerry Falwell. Obviously, I talk about him as a political leader, a political person, because that is how he made his mark. I am not one to argue much on my show about various theological ideas. I talk politics. And when people want to preach whatever religion they want to preach, as long as they don't start passing laws harming everybody else, let them preach what they want to preach. If people say, as some in the Catholic Church do, that the wafer and the wine are Jesus' body and blood, let them teach it. That doesn't affect me. And Protestants say it's only a symbol. Fine. And is Mary the mother of God? All those things are religion's realm, and really not much that I need to talk about here on the radio. But Falwell wanted to marry religion to politics. Falwell rejected what Jesus said, which is to render unto Caesar what is Caesar and God what is God's. He rejected the First Amendment separation of church and state, the wall of separation. And in doing so, we have to realize how he coarsened American politics. Because politics, I believe, particularly political issues, should be based on reason, should be based on self-interest, absolutely. Farmers, unions, teachers, big businesses, everyone advocates for their own interest. And in those balance of interest, the founder said, we would find some utilitarian way that the majority could vote with the protection of minority rights. That's what our secular constitution is all about. There's a reason why, in fact, God is not mentioned in our Constitution. But when you get to religion, reason goes out the window. Religion is all about faith, all about believing something that is not necessarily in your senses or before your eyes. There's a reason why we have to fear radical Islam, because they're not looking at logic or what's best for their people. They're looking at a jihad-based religion. The same was true in the time of the Inquisition and the time of the Crusades. The same is true with the argument that evolution shouldn't be taught in our schools, that science is wrong, that gravity is just a theory like evolution. Look, the problem with bringing religion into the public square is it takes away the logic. It takes away the idea of competing interests and suggests that there's only one right answer, and it's my religion. One of the things that Jerry Falwell very much cared about was putting prayer in public schools. Not private kids going on their own and praying silently or out loud to themselves. No, having a government-instilled prayer. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts the prayer wasn't, "There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet." And I'm sure the prayer didn't mention Buddha. And I'm sure the prayer had nothing to do with atheism or Hinduism or Wiccanism or Satanism or, frankly, Judaism, because I'm sure he would have it mentioned Jesus. How do you have a government-written prayer? For Falwell, the understanding was that because the majority of Americans are Christian, that they could all agree on a prayer and the non-Christian minorities be damned. But even Christians can't agree on a proper prayer. We do not have a state religion. We do not have an Anglican church. So how has Falwell affected us? Well, in some ways, he's affected just the coarsening of politics in general. Who can forget the Clinton Chronicles, where Falwell accuses Bill Clinton of murder? That's pretty strong. For a guy who couldn't handle a parody in Hustler, I'm not sure why he was reading Larry Flint's magazine anyway. I thought Jerry Falwell was against pornography. And I don't know how many Southern Baptists he felt would be reading Hustler and therefore would be libeling him. It was a parody. Flint never claimed it was true. It was a joke, Jerry, a joke. But Falwell claimed it was true. He claimed Bill Clinton was a murderer involved in a cocaine smuggling operation. He certainly had no evidence of this libel, and it was libelous. And if you look at the Swift Boat Liars, and you look at the campaign against Max Cleland of Georgia, the Vietnam veteran who lost an arm and two legs in Vietnam and yet was claimed to be somehow a traitor for Osama bin Laden. If you look at Karl Rove and his dirty tricks, he's got Falwell to thank, because it is Falwell who would put ridiculous ideas out there and proclaim them as if they're true. Today, there are people on the left who do it. I've said that those who believe that Bush put bombs in the World Trade Center are actually, in some ways, following Jerry Falwell and his crazy ideas that Bill Clinton was a murderer. Why can't we have honest political discourse? I disagree with George Bush because I like the Constitution of the United States. I don't think that he should be torturing people. I don't think he should be spying on people without a warrant. I believe in due process. That's fine. I haven't called him a Nazi ever on my show. But it is people like Jerry Falwell who claim Clinton is a murderer who make our political discourse weaker. And let me suggest to you that Jerry Falwell has very much harmed Christianity, and in particular, the way liberals look at religion. I consider myself a religious person. I have profound respect for pretty much all the world's, not all the world's religions. Okay, I won't say that. Let's just say most of the world's religions. I think there's a lot of decent thought in many of them, a lot of lessons to be learned from the peoples on the earth. I have a lot of respect and love for my own religious teaching. I don't accept all of it. I don't accept all of anything. I question it, but I respect it. And yet I would argue that Jerry Falwell has said, in effect, not just to conservatives, but he's left a message for liberals. Run from religion. Hide from the Bible. Attack the Bible. Look, I'm not going to claim the Bible is literally true. It's obviously not. It's easy to show that the Bible is written at various periods of time and that it contradicts each other. But that doesn't mean there isn't wisdom in the Bible. There is wisdom in the Bible, a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of history. He mentioned King Hezekiah, who wanted 15 more years. Heck, 2 months ago, I was in King Hezekiah's tunnel, a 2,600-year-old tunnel, a tunnel 600 years built before Jesus existed. So I know a lot of the Bible is true. Let us not let Jerry Falwell's legacy be our hatred of what is good in religion. There is a lot of good in religion. Jesus did talk about caring for the poor. The Torah, the Bible, the Hebrew Bible talks about caring for the poor, the widow, and the orphan. We don't even teach the Jubilee year. In the Bible, there is a law that says that every 50 years you have to redistribute the wealth. It's classic socialism. Every 7 years, you leave part of your field open for the poor every year. And every 7 years, you leave it fallow, and that's good for the land. It's also good for the poor. And then every 50 years, you redistribute the land so that everyone gets an equal opportunity. That, my friends, is in the Bible, but you wouldn't know it. The conservatives don't talk about it because it doesn't fulfill their idea of helping the rich at the expense of the poor. And liberals don't talk about it, let me say, partly because we're afraid of the Bible. Because people like Jerry Falwell made us think the Bible is evil. The Bible is many, many things. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. I will not say it has always been used for good. That's obvious. I will not say it's perfect. But there's a lot of good in it. Let us not, as liberals, run and hide from religion. Let us not let Jerry Falwell hijack Christianity. There's a lot of good in Christianity. And let me say to you that any thinking person, and most of them are liberals, recognizes there's good and bad in just about everything, in just about every culture and every religion. Let us not let Jerry Falwell's legacy be a hatred of religion. Let us understand that he is an aberration And as he is gone, let us recognize that there's lots of good in religion and in government. What's not good is when you put the two of them together. That's it for the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. The Dow Jones had a triple-digit gain today for another record close. We'll have the final numbers from Wall Street coming up in our business block. The World Bank's board is meeting today to decide the fate of embattled President Paul Wolfowitz. CNBC reports that both sides are now looking for an exit strategy, and he may resign soon, according to the Associated Press. Wolfowitz has been criticized for the pay package he arranged for his girlfriend. Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel says Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez should resign. That comes after yesterday's testimony from the former number two official at the Justice Department. The Senate today voted against legislation to set a cutoff date for combat operations in the Iraq War. It was a procedural vote which fell short of the required 60 votes. The U.S. military continues to search for the three missing American soldiers believed to be kidnapped by an al-Qaeda-linked group after an ambush on Saturday. 50,000 leaflets were distributed in the area south of Baghdad, announcing a reward of up to $200,000 for information leading to their return. Northeast of Baghdad today, a bomb in a parked car exploded, killing at least 32 people near a Shiite marketplace. 50 were wounded. In a separate attack in Baghdad's heavily fortified Green Zone today, two Iraqis were killed by mortars, 10 were wounded. In the Gaza Strip, violence continues between the Palestinian factions. 6 Fatah guards were killed by Hamas gunmen. Also, Israeli aircraft launched missiles at Hamas militants in response to Hamas-fired rocket barrages into Israel. Nicolas Sarkozy was inaugurated as the new president of France today. He promised a new era for the country, which will unite political rivals. Outgoing British Prime Minister Tony Blair will meet with President Bush at the White House.